Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started with what God has for us in this time. Father, I just want to thank you so much for this body of believers as they've come together and they worship you. And Lord, they come together for you, and that's why they're here. And they want to do their very best. They recognize that without you, they're nothing. And Lord, may we never forget that. May we never believe that we've arrived. Lord, I just pray today as we open up your word and as we look at what you have for us, that we'll understand that this is a journey that each of us is on. We're in different places on this journey, but none of us have arrived. So we may never stop learning. May we never stop listening. And may you continue to grow us so that we can give you all the glory that you deserve. The message comes from Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at the first 8 verses. We're not going to spend a lot of time digging through them, but I want you to look at that as sort of a platform for what it is that I'm going to talk to you about today. One of the things that we are passionate about, and I'm personally passionate about, is seeing spiritual transformation take place. And I believe that this is a time to help you in that process, in your own personal journey, as well as a body. So look with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, and we'll start with the verses 1 through 8. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." I'm going to stop there just for a minute. As I said, we're not going to dig deep into this. It's not going to be an exegetical sermon. We don't have time for that. But I want us to kind of use that as a platform. You know, I already said in my prayer, and I know that you know this, but we haven't arrived, you know, individually as believers. We've not arrived. We're still on the journey. By grace, God chose us to be his vessels, to be used for the ministry that he calls us. And as this passage talks about, not each of us or each one of us might have a different ministry that he's called us to. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And God wants to use those, but there's a responsibility on our part as well. You know, he has the ability to just make things happen. We believe that. He could do whatever he wants. And he doesn't even need us. But he chooses to use us, and it's our responsibility to do our very best. So we think about this, and look at the very first words there. It says, I beseech you. And talking about that appeal or that urging, he's saying, this is important. Paul's talking to the church here, and he's saying, you know, this is important. I urge you. Take me seriously, he's saying. And as pastor speaks to you, and as you read your Bible and you're studying, may we always take God's word seriously. May we never take it lightly as to say, well, yeah, I've read this passage before. Yeah, I heard that sermon. I guess I can just kind of kick back and think about what I'm going to do this afternoon. No, he's urging us to think about this. And by the mercies of God, and as I think about that, wow, where would we be without his mercies? Where would we be? You know, we don't deserve, yet he gives. And so when we think about that as the fact that we don't deserve all that we get, and the fact that we're being urged to To do what? To renew our minds and be transformed. And there's a lot that we can look at there, but you think about renewing your mind. Yes, if you're a believer, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and you've accepted that, then you've made a renewal at one point in time. But it doesn't stop there. We don't just make one renewal and say, well, I'm good now. We have to renew our minds daily. We have to constantly go back and say, I guess I didn't do as good as I should have today, but I'm going to do better tomorrow. It's a constant journey. We never arrive. Not where we're on this earth. So renewing your mind, it's a daily renewal. It's something that we need to constantly be thinking about. And he tells us in this passage, don't be conformed to this world. You know, as we were beginning the worship time this morning, it was mentioned there about how do we really mean what we sing? You know, at least that's what I heard being said. It wasn't particularly those words, but you know, we sing the words. It's just like our Bible. We can say, oh, I've read this passage before. I guess, you know, I'm good. I can flip to the... No, it's worship. When we sing the words, are we worshiping? Are we taking them seriously? Are these words a part of who we are? You know, he says, be transformed. Don't conform to this world. We live in this world. And it's not all bad. I mean, let's put it that way. You know, there are some good things that happen. But the best comes from God. And the things of Him are the best. And that's what we have to be constantly discerning. What is the best? You know, and not to be settled with what's good. You know, a lot of times we can live our life doing the good things and never receive the best things because we didn't allow God to use us that way. So even, you know, with our time and with everything that we do, don't get so caught up in the ways of this world. This world wants you to just be busy. The devil would love that. If we would all be just so busy that we wouldn't focus on God anymore. We wouldn't have any more time for church. We wouldn't have any time to go out into this, to our communities and share the gospel. He would love that. Paul's saying, no, don't get caught up in that trap. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't let that draw you in so much that you forget about the renewal that needs to take place in your mind every day. You think about how God accepts us the way we are and how He intends for us to be different. I'm encouraged as I heard you, heard said that you were going to be studying Max Lucado and some of his, I've heard some of his things and read some of what he's put out there. And I remember this one book that I read years ago was called Just Like Jesus, I believe. And Max Lucado wrote that. And there's a quote in there that just really sticks with me. He says, you know, God accepts you the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to become more and more like Jesus. And that's what He wants. You know, every day we're to become more and more like Him. And that's our part. That's our part. Be conformed. Conformed to His ways, not to the ways of the world. So don't let our actions be so much like the world that they can't tell whether we're a Christian or not. You know, that's the battle we live in. We need to be different. We need to constantly be going back to God and saying, Lord, shape me, mold me, help me to be more the person You want me to be. Lord, I believe You gave me this gift, but I don't think I'm real good at it yet. So help me to get better for Your glory so that You can use me more and more. And every day we ought to be asking, just make me more like Jesus. So I want us to think about that and then try to think about, well, how does that happen? And there's where some of the information comes in. I just want us to think about, you know, the fact that we need to be constantly looking to get better. And that's individually and corporately as a body. If we think of a puzzle, each person is a piece of a puzzle. If you believe that God brought you here, there's a reason He brought you here. He didn't bring anybody here to keep a seat warm. That's just not part of His plan. He wants you, He's given you a gift, and He wants you to use it for His glory. So we think about those different things, and I'm just going to share a transition a little bit into some of the how this is going to help you. And you know, one of the things that God wants us to have in ourselves as we grow in, as a believer is a missionary mindset. A mindset, and this is, you know, we all know about the benefit of supporting missionaries and giving to them financially and believing that missions are important. But do you realize that each one of us is called to be a missionary? Not each one of us is called to go to a foreign land, but we're all on mission. And, you know, oftentimes when we leave out of the church building, we think about, or we've heard it said, that, you know, you're now entering your mission field. Well, how are you entering it? What are you doing? You know, if you were a missionary going to and you are, but if you think about life like a missionary, and you're going to a land outside of your space, you have to have eyes like a missionary. You have to have ears like a missionary. You have to be able to discern what's going on around you. And that's part of that developing that mindset. You say, I'm on mission. Who am I on mission for? What do I need to see? What do I need to hear? You know, understand the community that's around you, and to understand the culture. You know, a lot of times I was in a place yesterday eating with a pastor friend, and the menu was so confusing, I didn't have a clue what they were trying to ask me if I wanted to eat. You know, we all hear the word Christianese and kind of chuckle, but this was some kind of language that I'd never seen before. You know, all I wanted was a burrito, and I had to have a something or other. So, you know, sometimes we got to be careful even as we talk. What is the language? Who are we trying to reach, and who are we trying to minister to? If you're a missionary, you're going to a foreign land, and I use this as an example because I know missionaries learn things before they go. They understand the foods, they understand the things that are going on around there, the languages, the dress. I would look pretty funny in this probably in some places, you know, so you have to understand that just a little bit. But just evaluating who you are and where you are on mission, having that mindset of a missionary. Another thing that's important, and these are some things that are going to come out in the assessment, so I'm bringing them up to you to help you to start to prepare yourself. Vibrant leadership. Now we might have, I don't know the structure of the church, and you know, there's maybe many of you who have a leadership role. But the idea of vibrant leadership is that it's not so much about the title, but the actions. You know, we're all responsible for carrying out the mission of the particular ministry that you're involved in. Well, the idea of vibrant leadership is not just carrying it out, but asking others to join you and to be a part of that, and to hope that maybe God might bring them up to become a leader in that ministry as well. It's much like that discipleship process that Jesus had. He brought people along with him, and he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he showed them, and to the point where he hoped they would do the same. And that's one of the things that we hope will happen in every church. The other thing is relational intentionality, and there's some kind of words that are action on these just to kind of get us thinking. You know, a lot of times we hope that relationships happen, but are we intentional about it? Do we have things in place to help people come together to the place where they begin that journey with Jesus, just like we did? You know, we hope that it happens, but if we don't have an intentional way of making some certain paths for them, it might not happen. And so we've got to be intentional about things. The other thing is prayerful dependence. And we'd all say, well, we pray. We're a praying church. And praise God for that. Praise God. One of the things that is so dear to my heart is, well, we think about the scriptures and we know that it says God's house is to be a house of prayer and we're to be praying without ceasing. You know, it's okay to stop in the middle of a lesson and pray. It's okay to pray for somebody right now. The worst thing that can happen, and I've seen this and I'm guilty of it as well, is you know, somebody says, oh, please pray for me, and we say, I'll pray for you, and we forget. You know, are we so dependent upon God in everything we do? Do we pray and ask for Him to be a part of it? Or do we do what we think we should do and then say, Lord, bless it, please? Prayerful dependence, being so dependent upon God in everything we do. And that kind of leads to the what we do. And this first two are more of a where we are and who we are. And then you think about, well, what do we do? Well, every church has purposes and things that they do. They have Bible studies, they have worship services, they have children's choirs, things like this. But what are we doing when we do that? And again, I point back to the message or the time of worship this morning as we're hearing that it's worship. Is there a sense of anticipation when you come here? Do you come here just believing that God's going to do something, that He has something great that He wants to show you, that He wants to do something great in your life today. You know, we come here to worship Him, or do we come here for something else? Worship is a discipline. It's not something we just do on Sunday mornings. We say we give our best to God, but we give our best to God all the time. Not just 1 hour of the week or 2 hours of the week. Worship is something that we do through our whole life. And so, do we think like that? You know, this is some of that part of being transformed. I said in the beginning, none of us have arrived. So when I throw these things out, I'm not trying to, you know, my little disclaimer always is when I say the church, it's not your church, it's the church. We fall short every day. We are not perfect. So there's room for us to grow. And we have to think about those. It's like going to the doctor. It's good to go to the doctor and get a physical. You don't have to think there's something wrong to get a physical. You go to the doctor and you ask him to give you a checkup. And then they might find something. You can be in prayer for my wife. Her name is Cheryl. This Tuesday she's having a surgery laser on her vocal cord. And she didn't know there was anything there. But while she was going for a checkup, they identified a cyst on her vocal cords. Keep my wife Cheryl in your prayers this week, as Tuesday we'll be going to for her to have some surgery. So sometimes we take assessments and things come out that actually help us to be better. And that's sort of where this is the big picture of all this. You know, worship. Are we truly coming to embrace Him? Or are we coming to sing some songs? Are we coming because we love Him so much? Are we coming because that's just what we do? You know, these are the questions we've got to ask ourselves all the time. And the longer we're a Christian, we tend to get comfortable. That's pretty much, you know, been proven, I would say. We know less people who are lost, and we kind of get settled in our ways. We talk about community, and this is community as in the inside. You know, not necessarily the community that you live in, but community fellowship, we a lot of times like to refer to it. Do we find ways to involve people in the community? Or again, do we hope that they'll get into community? I heard a pastor say something recently. It was a pretty good illustration I'm going to try to stick in my mind for. But you know, a lot of times as churches, we're kind of like a big fishbowl. And we just hope people will jump in. The fish will just jump in the bowl. And that, you know, when was the last time you saw a fish jump in a bowl? How can we help them to come in and to be a part of it? You know, we understand that we're on mission, but we're also have a responsibility to one another. And that's part of why we come together. You know, God never wanted us to do this alone. You know, we hear people say, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, how can you not? You know, we need to be encouraging one another, building up the body, supporting one another through prayers and through helping another person learn. And that's part of that going back to using your gift. God's given you a gift to use it. You know, I would hate to think if you had a precious gift that was handed down to you from a grandparent or somebody that you dearly loved, and it was just a family heirloom that you'd put it in the closet and never look at it. You know, is that how we treat our gifts from God? Or do we use them as often as we can? Because He really wants us to use those. He wants us to have them. He gave them to us. So community, recognizing that you have the big church, but then there's a need for the small church as well. And mission is another way of looking at things. We talked about the idea of a missionary mindset, but also just understanding, where is your mission field? Where is it that you're supposed to be helping? What are you doing as a body or individually to help the gospel spread? So each one of us has a responsibility in this. And I wanted you to think about that a little bit before we get into any question and answer time. And I do want to point us back to the scripture again. You know, Paul was saying to them, you got to be a living sacrifice. While you're alive, change your ways. Because it's too late afterwards. You know, while we're alive, we're to be doing these things for God. And what would happen if the disciples wouldn't have listened to Jesus? We wouldn't be here today. What would have happened if the person who led you to the Lord didn't listen? We wouldn't be here today. And if we don't take this message any further, there one day won't be the church that God wants. You know, Christianity is no longer the predominant faith in America. What does that mean to us? I think it means we need to get busy. We need to take seriously the things that God wants us to. So as we close this time out, before we go into a next part, I just want to challenge you this morning. And I want to ask you to pray and to seriously ask yourself, is there some renewal that needs to take place in you? Maybe for some, there's an initial renewal. I don't know all of you, and I don't know who's been here for a long time or who just came here today. But do you know Jesus? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the one that you come here for? Or is it to just somebody? Is He the one that you wake up for every day? You know He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves us. I'm so glad this isn't a church full of perfect people, because I would have messed it up. He just loves us. Do we love Him? I want to challenge you right now to think about this and ask God, is there something in my life that needs to be renewed? Where am I headed on this journey? Am I conforming to the world, or am I being transformed every day? Am I using the gifts that God gave me, or have I just said, that's nice, and put them on a shelf to preserve them? We don't want to mess them up. What are you doing? Where are you at? I invite you to come and pray, and Pastor Garthwaite will be here to receive you. And I just want you to respond as God leads you. Where are you in this journey? Are you where He wants you to be? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You so much for Your Word and for loving us so much, for the grace that You give us. We fall short. We don't pray enough. We don't think enough about the people outside. Sometimes we come to church so busy and we're caught up in the things we got to do when we leave here, and we're kind of listening to the songs, and you know, maybe we're humming them because we've heard them before. But are we worshiping You? Do we come here to embrace You? Do we come here with an expectation that You're going to bring somebody closer to You each time we come? Do we come believing that we're going to grow closer to You each time we come? Do we leave here different? And do we use the gifts and the talents that You gave us? Lord, I just pray that You'll speak to our hearts and help us to be renewed and transformed each and every day. I pray these things in Jesus' name.